Welcome. This workshop is protecting the church against legal, cultural, political threats, and our presenter is Ralph Rodriguez. This workshop is sponsored by Emory and Webb.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Danny. Appreciate that introduction. But I'm not sure why you don't like Chick-fil-A. Maybe we could lay hands on you later. That's a red flag to me, but I still love you. Just allow me to open up in prayer. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this time, for this opportunity to speak, to share with your people what you've placed on my heart and on my ministry's heart. I just thank you for the work of Alliance Defending Freedom, what you allow me to do, and I pray that it would be an encouragement to these folks right here, so that they can continue to do what you've called them to do, to spread the gospel and make disciples of all nations. We love you, Jesus, and we pray this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So welcome. Wow, this is a wonderful crowd. Now, no discrimination, but I just want to know, is anybody here a pastor or in charge of a ministry, by show of hands? Okay, wonderful. Great. Any lay ministers or teachers? Okay, everybody else is a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, right? Amen. So we all have that in common. As Danny said, my name is Ralph Rodriguez. I am legal counsel with Alliance Defending Freedom. I'm going to do a lot of polls to see what familiarity there is in this room, so raise your hand if you've heard of Alliance Defending Freedom. Oh, wow, okay. Not a lot of familiarity. You might see a face up there that you may have seen in the past. But I'm just going to get into who Alliance Defending Freedom is, the work that I do alongside the Church and Ministry Alliance, and how we work to basically keep the doors open for the gospel, keep the legal door open for the gospel. And you'll see what I mean by that in just a bit. And so this is the title of my talk, Equipping Churches to Speak the Truth, Protect Your Ministry, and to Operate Freely. Now, just because you might not be a pastor in this room, you might not be at a pulpit every Sunday or actively sharing the word, but we are all ministers, at least with a lowercase m, and so hopefully this would apply to you in some measure. So Alliance Defending Freedom, we are the world's largest legal ministry, and so we work in a very different a vast amount of areas in the arena of law, public policy, politics, culture. And so you may have heard of Masterpiece Cake Shop, Jack Phillips. Is that ringing a bell? You'll see his face in just a bit. And so basically our jobs as lawyers at ADF is to protect the rights of Christians, the constitutional rights of Christians, to be able to freely live out their faith, right? But what does that mean on a practical level? So these are what we call our five generational wins. And this is what all of our advocacy efforts are geared towards on a day-to-day basis. So the first and foremost is for religious freedom to prevail. Honestly, not just for Christians, but for people of all faith, right? Because if religious freedom prevails for everybody, then it prevails for Christians, right? And then it gives us the ability to go out and spread the gospel. The second is for all to speak freely. And so that comes directly from our First Amendment, right? Freedom of speech. And so being able to assert what you believe, share it in the marketplace, share it on social media, share it wherever you may go, without fear of retribution or fear of even litigation for sharing your sincerely held beliefs, right? The third is for life to be safeguarded. We praise God that in 2022, we saw the reversal of Roe v. Wade. And so the official quote-unquote constitutional right to abortion is no longer the case. In terms of the law of the land for the nation, right? So we praise God for that. ADF was at front and center of that legal victory. But that honestly was just the tip of the spear, right? Because there is much work to be done. Where do we live? New York State, right? Unfortunately, this state has codified the right to abortion in its constitution. But we don't believe that has to be the story for New York until Jesus comes, right? We believe that his will can be done on earth as it is in heaven, amen? And that is something else that we are looking to advocate for. The next is for parental rights to be guaranteed. Believe it or not, raise your hand if you're a parent. Awesome, I'm a parent as of 7 weeks ago.
Congratulations!
Thank you. So I'm falling into this bucket now, and I'm seeing how important it is. But believe it or not, the rights of parents to bring up their children in terms of education, medical decisions, is not only being eroded, but it's actually not really, it's not on a solid legal foundation in terms of a nationwide consensus. And that's because of certain decisions of the Supreme Court over the many decades of our nation. And so that's what we work towards as well, so that parents can have the ultimate right to bring up their children according to their own convictions, right? Mm-hmm. According to God's design.
Amen.
And last but not least is for marriage and family to be protected. God's design for the family, right? Unfortunately, in 2015, we saw the Supreme Court rule that same-sex marriage is also marriage. But that's not where, once again, that's not where the legal fight ends, right? I mean, there's so much cultural work to be done in terms of educating a people that is really being led astray by popular culture, and letting them know what the Bible says and why that leads to human flourishing, right? And so what does that mean in terms of educating and culture and all of that? Well, you see here on the left-hand side, this is what I do on a day-to-day basis. This is what my colleagues do. This is the law, right? The law can protect free speech. It can advocate for cases in the Supreme Court, in local courts, in legislatures, right? We can also work to prohibit abortion. Once again, praise God, Roe v. Wade is no longer the law of the land. We can work to safeguard religious freedom, and we'll look at two cases very briefly on how we do that. And we can also try to define marriage and expand parental rights in terms of the legal landscape. But that's only half the battle. Dare I say, it might not even be half. Because we need the church to affirm everything else in terms of really getting it in a really getting society to buy in, right? Buy into what God has prescribed for human flourishing, right? So we can protect free speech, but it's on you, the church, to spread the gospel, right? What good is speech if we're not using it for the right thing? We don't want to just prohibit abortion. We want to make it unthinkable, right? So that a woman who's pregnant unexpectedly doesn't even think to go into an abortion clinic, right? Because we have such a flourishing culture of life, right? Only the church can fulfill the Great Commission and disciple nations, right? And lastly, it's on the church to build healthy families. So we see here this dichotomy of the law and the church working in concert, right? Working as one, and us at Alliance Defending Freedom, we really call upon the church to partner with us so that these wins that we're achieving in the courts and in the legislatures can truly be solidified when hearts are changed, when minds are changed. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
Awesome. And I love this quote from John Stott. He says here, the church depends on the truth for its existence, but the truth, capital T, depends on the church for its defense and proclamation, right? I'm a lawyer, right? I'm not gonna be able to say many of these things in court, right? Or in a deposition or in a legal setting, but surely us as Christians are to go out into the world and proclaim truth, right, with a capital T. And we really do see that in our culture, there's a contest for truth, right? It goes back to the beginning of time, right? When Satan said, did God really say? Right? And then Pontius Pilate, at Jesus's trial, he says, what is truth? Right? So we know that there's nothing new under the sun. But at the same time, there is an extreme proliferation of hostility to the truth. Right? You see it every day. You see it in your workplace. You see it in your congregations. If you're a pastor, you see it in counseling. There's a hostility to the truth. But we know that, what did Jesus say? You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free, right?
Amen.
It's only truth that can bring true freedom, right?
Amen.
And so real quick, we're going to look at a couple of religious liberty threats, because once again, we know the landscape, and we know that really the hour is, it seems late. You might not think so, but we'll also very quickly look at an instance across the ocean in Europe, in terms of religious persecution really coming to a head. But here, this is Mr. Jack Phillips, right? Nod your head if you've seen his face before, right? He's a familiar friend of ours. He's probably our most visible client. Unfortunately for him, he's had to be defended by us three separate times now. This is the third time he's been sued for living out his faith. The first time was being approached to bake a cake for a same-sex wedding. He politely declined and said, I'll sell you any cake in my shop, but I can't create messages that violate my faith. He was promptly sued by the Colorado Civil Rights Commission, and we achieved a victory for him at the Supreme Court, but the Supreme Court didn't go far enough in terms of declaring his freedom of religion and free speech rights. And so that's what's allowed the Civil Rights Commission in Colorado to just come after him time and time again. The latest one is being approached to celebrate a gender transition party. A cake blue on the outside and pink on the inside. The attorney that's going after him has been on the record to say, I'm just trying to make an example out of Mr. Phillips because he's discriminating against people. And so we believe that the law and the facts are on Mr. Phillips' side. There was a Supreme Court victory just last term, June 2023, called 303 Creative. And that basically asserted that the government cannot compel creative professionals to speak messages on behalf of the government. Does that make sense? Right? You would think that it should be normal nomenclature for a free speech society, but unfortunately, it took a Supreme Court case for the highest court in the land to declare that officially. So we believe 303 Creative bodes really well for Jack, and we're just hoping that he can, just hopefully get out of this legal malaise that he's been in. And many times, even if he gets the victory, so many times the process is the punishment, right? He has faced death threats, harm to his reputation. Even though we provide pro bono services towards him, he's lost tens of thousands of dollars in business. And so that's why we say here, standing courageously comes at a cost, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you, right? So we know that none of this is surprising, but Jack is just a wonderful testimony of God's grace and standing courageously for the truth. So I like to use this case because I happen to be at an Assemblies of God church and annual meeting, but this is Cedar Park Assembly of God of Kirkland. It's in the Midwest, and pastor couple right here, they represent this case in terms of churches as an employer. And so here the state that they are in has required their insurance company to provide abortion access on their plan for employees, right? So, I mean, you could just look at the trajectory of how that would go, right? That severely violates the faith of this church as an employer, right? And being able to provide quality health insurance for their employees, for their staff, right? And so we've sued the state there, and we're hoping to get a victory very soon. It's still pending, but you just see here that, I mean, the way laws are being passed, specifically targeting ministries and churches, right? Because there was no, sometimes in certain states, you'll see what's known as a religious exemption. Right, so if you have an employee at 7-Eleven, right, and their employees, yes, they do have to cover many comprehensive plans, right, including abortion or many other things, certain contraceptives, but yet there will be a religious exemption, but not such here. And so that's what we're at least trying to achieve in this case. And then once again, they're standing courageously here. And lastly, Compass Care v. Hochul. This case is taking place on behalf of New York, but also other states, because right now it's in the Second Circuit, which is an appeals court, and that represents several states within this region. We won in the lower instance, so we won at the district court, which is the first court in the federal court system. And so this law here went a little farther than the previous case. This law says that not only do churches have to cover abortion access in their healthcare plans, And what I mean by churches is all employers, right? And so that includes churches, that includes ministries. Compass Care is a pregnancy resource center, so they fall under that umbrella. But not only that, anybody who's anybody, and what do I mean by that? Anybody who disagrees with the church's statement of faith, if they were born a male and feel like they are now a female, and they apply for an open position that's posted on the church's website, then legally, New York cannot say, I'm sorry, the church cannot say, sorry, we can't hire you because this goes against our statement of faith, this goes against our sincerely held beliefs. This is what New York is trying to force religious employers to do, right? So we won in the lower instance, but New York appealed, and so right now it's in the Second Circuit. So you see here, hopefully there's you see what the trend is, right? If they're not gonna, once again, with my pastors here, if they're not gonna be able to get you to say certain things from the pulpit, which they can't right now, then they surely will get you to, or try to get you to behave a certain way as an employer, as somebody who affects lives on a day-to-day basis in different instances, right? And so the threats to religious liberty are real. This is not fear-mongering, certainly. It's just the state of our culture, the state of our society. And we're so glad, as Alliance Defending Freedom, that he has equipped us, enabled us to do this legal work as unto him and as unto his body. That's where the Church and Ministry Alliance comes in. So Alliance Defending Freedom, we've been around since 1994. We were founded by about 30 faith leaders back then. That's really when you saw the doubling down by the Supreme Court on abortion, right? We had Planned Parenthood versus Casey reaffirming Roe v. Wade. You had certain same-sex marriage cases going up the system in state courts and in federal courts across the nation. So a bunch of gentlemen at the time, James Dobson, Bill Bright, James Kennedy, names like that, they really saw what time it was. And they said, well, hold on, we're losing all of these cultural battles in the courts. We need to figure out a way to fight back and do so on the same turf. But as you know, litigation is expensive, lawyers are expensive, and so it really started out as a defense fund to be able to train attorneys and equip them to even get their foot into the door in court and be able to assert our constitutional rights that really God has given us, right? There are God-given rights. And so it started then in 1994, back around the early 2000s, we were able then to hire in-house counsel. And that's what it's been, right? It's been, okay, Charlie, you're being persecuted for your faith, right? And so you call us and we're gonna defend you as an individual, right? And so we saw a lot of that. We saw a lot of that for our first 20 plus years in existence. But in 2017, we realized that there was such a need for churches and ministries. When I say ministries, I mean your pregnancy centers, your counseling centers, Christian schools, right? Any Christian non-for-profit that's not technically a church. We saw that there was such a need for proactive legal measures, right? Not just reactive, not waiting for Charlie to get sued, not waiting for the pastor to get sued and defend themselves, but really getting to a point where we're saying, no, we're gonna assert our rights, our God-given rights, and be able to hopefully protect ourselves and before anything happens, right? Before any legal issue comes down the pike, and hopefully insulate ourselves as best as we can from a legal infraction. And this is not to say that there's any silver bullet, right? There's no such thing as a litigation-proof ministry, but certainly you can do the best that you can, right? And it would behoove us as residents of New York State, right? A state that's very hostile to faith, let's be frank about that, and just say, we're gonna do the best that we can by God's grace, while we still have these abilities, right? And I think of the Apostle Paul, right? Because there might be some honest doubters that say, well, this is too political. This is too getting into the weeds of, you know, things that I'm not really equipped to talk about, right? I'm just a pastor, or I'm just a choir leader or a school teacher. But I want to remind you that the Apostle Paul asserted his rights as a Roman citizen, right? When he was being persecuted for his faith, he said, oh, hold on. I'm a citizen of Rome by birth, and I deserve to confront my accusers, and I'm appealing all the way to Caesar, right? And that arguably saved his life, but more than that, it was for other Christians down the road, right? I mean, if you know the life of Paul, you understand that Paul was always concerned about the church and the future of the church. So he understood, if they're persecuting me, they're going to persecute, you know, all these people that come after me, right? So I want to set a legal precedent so that other Christians can say, oh, I can do that. That's within my rights, right? But what's the bottom line? So that the gospel can be continued, the gospel can continue to be spread, right? What would have happened if Paul was stopped in his tracks and the many times that they tried to do that, right? We wouldn't have most of the New Testament, right? But praise God that he gave him wisdom, that he followed the leading of the Holy Spirit, and he asserted the rights that were available to him, right? And we have the book of Romans to read now, and so much rich doctrine, right? And how much God has done for us, right? His wonderful plan of salvation. So that's my pitch to you to get you to understand that this is not political, right? This is totally ministerial, and by God's grace, he will help us prevail in the same way. So what do I do, right? So I am not a litigator. I'm actually not in court, and so I'm not defending Charlie. Sorry to keep picking on you, just front and center. I am one of the legal counsels in our Church and Ministry Alliance. So the Church and Ministry Alliance is a membership program that churches and ministries can come alongside for a very nominal fee, and we only charge ministries so that we're able to appropriately scale things. You'll see the pricing in just a bit. And this is not a sales pitch at all, it's just letting you know exactly what the X's and O's of things are. And so my job is to make sure that pastors, ministry leaders, heads of school, counselors, in their day-to-day ministries are standing on a solid legal foundation, right? We know that we have these rights available to us under the Constitution, but how do you assert those rights is a different ballgame, right? So say a member joins, then they call us up or they email us, they go on the portal and they say, okay, I want a governing document review. That's probably the most tangible thing that we can offer to a ministry. Well, so we sit alongside you as the pastor, as the ministry leader, and we say, okay, we're going to look at your statement of faith. We're going to look at your bylaws, your doctrinal statements, job descriptions, anything that's touching your day-to-day, the day-to-day life of your ministry, and ensure that you have the highest religious liberty protection in place. Once again, not a silver bullet. We're not going to say you're never going to get sued. You're never going to be in the caption of a lawsuit. But you can rest easy knowing that you've done the best that you can with what's available to you to protect your ministry, and once again, to be proactive, so that you can focus on what God has called you to do, right? You might not be a pastor in this room, but you know a pastor. You go to a church, right? So you can, let them know that this is available to them as just a good way to steward what God has given you. Right? You don't want to be just caught in the wind of what I was explaining just a few moments ago with these court cases, right? Something that's very real in our backyards, right? With this Compass Care v. Hochul case, right? And so the bottom line is to prepare, right? And so you have your First Amendment, right? And the First Amendment protections that we talk about, it's really an umbrella, right? And that's to show that it's far-reaching, it's wide, several people can come under it, right? It protects you from the elements. So you have your free speech protections, you have, and I just wanna go through this here, you have freedom of association, right? So freedom of speech, that allows me to do what I'm doing right here, mm-hmm. in this, with this microphone, it allows your pastor to preach from the pulpit. It allows your Bible studies to take place, right? That you're proclaiming things, right, in an audible way. And then you have freedom of association. You have the freedom to assemble. Once again, what we're doing, praise God that we don't have to fear that the state police are going to come knocking on these doors and shut us down, right? And then lastly, we have the religion clauses, which are the establishment clause and the free exercise clause. So just in these three bullets here, there is a whole host of protections available to you that churches can input in their governing documents so that they can rest easy at night, knowing that they've insulated themselves as best as possible, right? And then lastly here, we see that what we call the church autonomy doctrine. And it's our longest standing legal protection dating back to 1872. And it works like this. The government cannot go too far in dictating your decisions as a ministry, or else it'll encroach on this establishment clause, which says in the First Amendment, Congress shall make no law establishing a religion, right? And so it's on the churches, it's on the ministries to avail themselves of those protections, and that's why we exist as a church and ministry alliance. And really, why do I talk about the governing documents? Well, should you get sued as a ministry, as a church, then those governing documents become, well, we'd say the core documents become court documents, right? They become discoverable because a judge is going to see, okay, you're being sued for discrimination against the new alphabet soup, right? LGBT, whatever. Is that really in your sincerely held beliefs, right? The judge is not going to open up the book of Romans and look at, okay, this is what it says, and he's not going to read a treatise on what beliefs are for the assemblies of God, but he will look at your statement of faith, he will look at your bylaws, and your sincerely held beliefs are what protect you. And we look at what we call three C's. You want to make sure that you are clearly stating your beliefs, that you're connecting your beliefs to your core documents, and that you're living them out consistently, because it's consistency that becomes evidence of sincerity in the courtroom. And so all that put together is what's going to allow you to be victorious if you're confronted with a religious liberty-related lawsuit. Right, so there you go. We're going to assess your protections. We're going to say, are you clearly religious? All right, you're a church, right? Okay, but does it say you exist to proclaim the gospel, right? Does it say, you know, several things that can point to your sincerely held beliefs, right? So that's our document review goals, and it's really foundational support. And I'll show you here everything else I'm talking about in terms of these documents. If you want to take a picture, go ahead. But these are things that we look at for different ministries. This is what's going to, once again, avail you to the best possible protection in place as it currently stands with current Supreme Court precedent. Once I see phones down, I'll safely go to the next slide. I'm running out of time. But this is a quote from Justice Alito in our most recent case having to do with the ministerial exception. And it says here, in a country with the religious diversity of the United States, judges cannot be expected to have a complete understanding and appreciation of the role played by every person who performs a particular role in every religious tradition. A religious institution's explanation of the role of such employees in the life of the religion in question is important. In other words, if you have it written down, the judge, 9.5 times out of 10, is going to say, okay, I take your word for it, right? Because you're being clear, you're connecting to your core documents, and you're being consistent. Now, you might get a rogue judge in a certain state or a certain jurisdiction that says, I want to mess with this church, right? And they're going to rule against you. Well, we have a robust system in place that we can say, okay, we're going to appeal your court case and take you all the way to the Supreme Court. Praise God that the current constitution of the Supreme Court is really in our favor, right? But that might not always be the case, right? And you know, we have to deal with what we have currently, right? I mentioned Europe a few moments ago. currently we have a case, we also have international work going on. We're defending a member of parliament in Finland who is on her third court case, much like Jack Phillips, and she is being sued for posting a tweet back in like 2016 about biblical marriage. She is being criminally prosecuted for tweeting Matthew 19, right? And so she has been victorious in both lower levels, but now it's at the Supreme Court of Finland. She's also a grandmother, you know, just the optics of this is crazy. And so if it can happen in Finland, I believe it can happen here, right? Once again, not fear-mongering, but trying to be wise about the day that we're living in, right? So I mentioned pricing just a few moments ago. This is what it would look like for a church to join. We have a partnership with the New York Ministry Network, not to mention our partnership with the Assemblies of God. And this is very nominal, you see, right? I mean, you know, nobody's retiring off of this. You know, nobody's going to Fiji. Once again, it's just the scale. This is very important, right? My bad. You know, the discount code, you get 20% off by using that code. And then I'll leave it at, I'll put it back up if you want, because my brother Danny's coming to snatch me away. This is a free legal guide. You scan this, and this just gives you an introduction of what to expect with our membership. It's a facility use policy guide, trying to get you started on something. I also have some free materials there, please. I don't want to take them home. Avail yourself to them. I have pens. Thank you so much. I'll also be available if you guys want to come up and have one-on-one questions.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good information. Now we need to use it to fight for righteousness. That's what we have to do. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. God bless.
Do you have a business card? Save me one of those things.
Okay.
I don't want to go grab any that person.
Okay.
I don't want to grab it for them, but I need one.
For the free guide?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not too quick. I'm old.
There you
sorry.
Go.